Welcome to We Are Libertarians. This week, we have some special stuff for you. We're going to talk to you guys about some new regulations passed down from the White House. These regulations may force roll-your-own cigarette stores out of business. President Obama signed a new transportation bill last Friday that included a provision that may force many of these stores out of business all around the country. In the usual not-too-transparent manner of Congress and the way they make laws, they just amended the transportation bill to include that roll-your-own cigarette stores are now manufacturers, which levies them to way more regulations than they can afford.
And it should be noted that when you buy a roll-your-own cigarette and you buy a carton of them, you're taxed at a lower rate.
Right.
So, and we actually have a special guest this week help walk us through some of this, someone who's going to be directly affected by this ban. So you want to
introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, hi. My name is Megan Stewart, and I am still currently the manager of a smoke station in Indianapolis.
Where are you located at?
We have four stores. My main store is on 84th and Michigan Road.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about the stores. What are the nature of the stores, and are you basically only roll your own cigarettes, or how does your store work?
The majority of our profits come from people using our machines.
Mm-hmm.
$25.50 is a box, which also there's regulations from the government that you're not allowed to call our cigarettes. You're supposed to call them smokes. You're supposed to call the carton of cigarettes a box.
Oh, man.
A box of smokes.
Yeah. So,
a box of smokes.
Yeah. And if you don't and you get caught by excise police,
okay,
you get fined.
Why do they make a distinction between cigarettes and smokes? And what is the point of that, do you think?
The point of that is, I mean, that mainly helped us to try and stray away from being called a manufacturer. Because,
mm-hmm,
I mean, big tobacco is like trying, I mean, they want to get rid of us, obviously, and they did a pretty good job so far. But when we were still open, you know, we were using this verbiage as, you know, a way to show, like, we're going to abide by, you know, the rules of trying to be open.
Right.
And still sell cigarettes or smokes.
I don't smoke, and I don't think you do either, do you?
I don't.
So
I don't smoke either.
Okay, well, that's ironic. I wouldn't have bet on that. You know, what is the difference between the two cigarettes, or the cigarette and the smoke?
Well, if you want to put it by the big tobacco and the small tobaccos versus each other,
mm-hmm,
big tobacco, the majority of each cigarette, each one, is 70% chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
30% of it is tobacco. Ooh. And that's not even including the chemical of the flame retardant chemical they put on each manufactured cigarette. The fire safety papers is what they call them. And
I like that they put fire retardant on cigarettes.
Yes, yes.
Federal government for you.
Yeah.
They don't want stuff to light on fire when you flick it out.
Yeah,
window.
Exactly, right.
Mm-hmm. Or if you leave it sitting, you know, in an ashtray or something.
Right, okay.
Well, and then you have our cigarettes that do not contain nearly as much chemicals as the others. I mean, we're just 100% tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
There's no additives or fillers. I mean, besides the fact that you're just getting nicotine from tobacco,
mm-hmm,
that's it. They're not considered organic. They are considered natural because organic would be the use of pesticides.
Right. So they take the tobacco plant, they hang it up, they dry it, and then I assume it gets chopped up into, you know, maybe processed a little bit, and then you buy that from a distributor?
Correct.
Okay. And so when I walk into the store, what's the experience? Is it like, you know, when we were kids and we'd go on field trips and you'd get your cup and you'd get a suicide? Could you go and fill it like with different types of tobacco, or
you really could. I mean,
okay. Suicide cigarettes.
Yeah. Well,
well, that's
I don't want to say that.
Oxymoronic.
Yeah, it is. As a first time customer, when you walk in, I'm gonna greet you and say, ask if you'd been here, and if not, you know, explain everything I basically just said to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then going further, You know, what do you prefer to smoke? What, if cost is not a factor because it's not at our store,
mm-hmm.
you know, what type of tobacco do you like? Do you like a full flavor, light, ultralight, menthol? And the fact is you can blend. We were blending tons of different tobacco together.
Right.
And 8 ounces of tobacco makes a carton of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people could do 1 ounce of this, 1 ounce of that, three of this, three of that. And so on.
And so you put it all together in this machine, and then it rolls. The machine probably, I would assume, I've never seen one, but it feeds down into the rolling paper, and then your automatic rolling machine rolls a perfect cigarette.
Yes.
With or without a filter?
With.
With a filter. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it becomes, it. The smoke ends up looking exactly like a cigarette, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Like
all right.
Imagine like a really big ATM machine that's, you know, a little wider than normal, but it has a like a wood grain finish. You have this top section where you pour the tobacco in. You have a section where you put the empty filters and tubes in.
Mm-hmm.
You press three buttons. 8 minutes later, you have 200 cigarettes.
You okay.
can control the density of each one, too. So
these are big machines. These are not something that you could necessarily buy for your house.
Yeah, and that's really funny you brought that up because they're saying... Now, legally, it's okay to have these in your home, but these are $32,000 machines, and no one would. I mean,
right? You'd have to be
if Donald Trump wanted to smoke these. You
really have to like cigarettes.
Smoke those, yeah.
I mean, I know a few people who really like cigarettes, but they're probably not dropping $32,000 on one of these machines. Is there a home version that you can sort of take home version that you can buy out there?
Sure. Yeah, the ones we're selling now, since we're shut down from the machines, we're selling the hand rollers. Nowhere near as fast or consistent.
Yeah, right.
And you know, so what, takes longer.
So what was their... So, again, they added this onto a highway transportation bill. I can't even imagine... I guess it was Max Baucus of Montana was the driving force behind this. These rolling machines are banned or not in use. I don't know if they're banned or there just aren't any in Montana. And he was the driving force behind this. And Baucus is a Republican or a Democrat? Senator Baucus. I think he's a Democrat.
I was thinking it was a Democrat I read somewhere.
Yeah, he's a Democrat because he was the health care bill guy too.
Oh, okay.
So he's a real gem of a senator. and so he was the driving force behind this, and he has had a tremendous amount of financial support from Altria and other
yes.
cigarette companies. And
I call him Big Cig.
Big Cig.
Big Pharma and Big Cig.
So, I mean, is this – what? Let's speculate a little bit. Why do you think that this was pushed through, and what do you think the cause of this is? Is this something that they've been pushing for a long time and they've just finally succeeded or what?
Yes.
Okay.
There's – it was – we found out in November of last year that this provision was slid into the highway bill. And we got prepared. We got, you know, we had to get a lobbyist. We have lawyers. I mean, and we had information to show our customers to, you know, make them knowledgeable about what's going on so they can help too, as well as a petition to sign saying, you know, we are not manufacturers. We are retailers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that we tried really hard. We had thousands and thousands of signatures on our petition. And
yeah, I saw the petition on your guys' Facebook page.
There's multiple. I mean, we had a hard copy one that before the Facebook page one, and then I created the one on moveon.org, mm-hmm. and now there's a new one that's, you know, going to be, it's nationwide, and there's over 3,000 signatures.
So when you say you guys hired lawyers, was it the
oh, we've
the
had
parent
lawyers.
Company of the four stores, or is it
the
you
parent
know,
company? Yes,
or is it a you know, or is the smoke shop a nationwide chain of some sort? Or
we
who when you say they, who are they exactly?
Sorry, they being our affiliate parents in Florida, they were the ones who started out first, basically, in the country. Very big down there.
Yep.
Really big loss.
Florida's where I got all my information from about it.
Yes, and they're...
Since we have a guest, I'll reserve comment. I had a really bad joke, but I'll... Go ahead.
That's okay. I can save it. I like bad jokes.
Me a lot. I mean a lot. Anytime we're recording.
That's okay. But yeah, so the way that I got involved with this, I might as well just start from there. My brother-in-law, his best friend is the one who opened all these stores in Florida. He's got probably 12 stores down there. So we got into it up here, and we grew so quickly. And now, I mean, we had six. We're no longer affiliated with two for investor reasons. It doesn't really matter. But, I mean, we've gone to Chicago. My sister is also involved. She moved to Atlanta, Georgia, to open up stores.
So this is really kind of a family business for you guys?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. How many roll-your-own stores are there around the nation?
Oh, there's over 1,500 is what we've calculated. Wow. Okay. And that's 10,000 people who are employed by a roll-your-own store.
Okay, so we're not talking about a major business. We're talking about mom-and-pop stores. We're talking about small business owners like yourself. That mm-hmm. you know. So what does this do to your business?
Oh, I mean, we used to be open 7 days a week, you know, 10 to 12 hours per each store a day. We cut down. Now we're closed 2 days out of the week. Shortened hours are from 10 to 5 now instead of 9 to 7 or 9 to 9 mm-hmm. every day. It's basically...
And that's just this week that you're starting that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That started Monday.
Man.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you lay anybody off?
Yes. Yeah. Total out of our Indianapolis stores, three-fourths of our employees are gone.
You laid off three-fourths of... Wow.
Uh-huh. Now we just basically have a manager for each store. One person there. When it used to be two to three. Yeah, and for longer periods.
Because of this one regulation where a big business basically bought a senator and then got this regulation passed, how many employees did you go – when you say three-fourths, how many people are out of work this week just because of that one regulation?
This week, just in the greater Indianapolis area out of the four stores – and there are imitators like us.
Sure.
So that – I don't know how many they would have, but I assume – for us, it was around 40.
So you laid off 40 people this week because of this regulation?
Just about.
Just 40. In Indianapolis.
Just in Indianapolis, and there's
everywhere.
10,000 people. So you take three-fourths of 10,000 people.
Do you know math?
That's like 1,400 people. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's probably about 7,500 jobs, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about a massive layoff because of this.
What do you think this regulation has to do with highways and transportation?
Nothing but the cigarette butts on the highway.
Right, which is actually a personal vendetta of mine. I can't stand that.
I cannot.
It just makes me so mad.
That's littering. It's
if you're currently driving and smoking while you're listening to this, please do not flick a cigarette.
Put it in the ashtray or just save it to throw away later.
As you know, we have several dozen listeners on this program. So where do you go from here? I mean, do you start having to branch out into other I mean, do you guys sell
different business model?
Yeah, basically. I mean, and I'm not going to ask you to give away your trade secrets, but I mean, do you guys sell different kinds of cigarettes? Do you specialize in specialty brands, or how do you, you know, where do you go from here, I think?
Well, from here we've been trying to do a social club. It's really mm-hmm. the only thing right now that's looking hopeful, besides this petition getting seen by the president by the end of this month. So that really totally turns our whole business model around where, I mean, now we're a non-for-profit social club that we now have to have a recreation of some sort at our store, as well as the pleasure and recreation are criteria to have a social club.
So you have to go from a business where you sell volume to an event planning company almost.
Almost. Something has to be in the store as well as for the machines to be used as well. Like, I don't even...
Okay, so you can use the machines. You just have to do it in a certain way.
Yeah.
There's a loophole?
From one loophole to another, it's now. I mean, I don't know. It's crazy to where we almost have to like have bingo set up or something.
And you can feel free to say this because the president doesn't listen. So I've got confirmation on that. But
he doesn't listen to our podcast.
No, no, I don't think Max Baucus does either. He may not know what a podcast is.
He's making an auto download on his PC.
Well, he's got an iPhone. But all right, so that's interesting. There is always. Yeah, not for long. There is always a loophole in all of these laws. So they always have these, you know, intentions of doing it this way. But then there's always some loophole that this is why the free market is always better than the government intervention. And welcome to being a libertarian, by the way, because these kind of events, you may have been a Republican or a Democrat, but I guarantee you're a libertarian for the rest of your life.
Yeah, after this, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that's usually, people say, how do you grow the Libertarian Party? I say, just let the government keep on doing what it's doing.
What it's doing, yeah, exactly.
You know, that is the interesting thing, is that people will always find a way to innovate. They will always find a way around the rules. They will, and I'm not saying you're doing anything nefarious. You're doing what you need to do to survive,
yes,
to employ people again, to put people back to work. And it's the government that's hindering that. And it's these stupid types of just asinine policies that happen at every level of government that put people out of work. And you want to know why? You want to know how libertarians will create jobs? We won't create jobs. We'll stop doing stuff like this, and we'll stop putting 40 people out of work. You know, we'll stop putting 7,500 people out of work by passing needless regulations.
We'll let the jobs create themselves.
Because let me ask you this. How many people did you force into your store to buy your deathly cigarettes?
Zero. I mean,
so you
have the choice to come in
so
or not.
So you didn't go out and with a gun force anyone into your store to buy your smokes?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
well,
if anything, this
is outrageous. I thought that's what the purpose was. You were forcing people to smoke. What are your thoughts on the smoking ban? That's just been passed in Indiana and in Indianapolis. What are your thoughts on that as a small business owner in the tobacco industry?
Well, the smoking ban, I mean, when we opened 2 years ago, we decided then and there, you know, we don't really want people to be smoking in our store. We kind of wanted this concept of a really fast, efficient in and out kind of thing.
Sure.
Honestly, I'm not a smoker.
You don't want to be around it. Yeah.
Enjoy, you know. I enjoy going, you know, to have a drink somewhere, and it's not a thick cloud of smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't care either way. If they want to smoke, they can smoke. The fact now that, you know, smoking is banned from bars and, well, not all of them, but bars and restaurants. I just really don't care.
There are about 4,000, last estimate, there are about 4,000 to 5,000 bar employees in Indianapolis, and they think that the local ban here in Indianapolis alone is probably going to lay off about 1,000 people.
Really?
Because, again, it's a regulation that the government creates, maybe with good intentions, but at the end of the day, it causes lost jobs. And it's because people, you know, the problem with cities, especially Indianapolis, their mayors, the city councilors, Republicans, Democrats, the city leaders, they all think about the city core. They all think about, you know, from IUPUI over to Lockerbie to South Street up to 16th Street. That's where they think. So they don't think about, you know, 10th and Tibbs. They don't think about Mars Hill. They don't think about the neighborhoods around the city core. And the people at the little bars like Good Times down in Greenwood, you know, near Greenwood, but in Indianapolis, those places, you know, I'm not saying Good Times is going out of business. I'm saying that a bar like that, a neighborhood bar that's in a strip mall where people from the neighborhood just go get together, they smoke, they drink after they get off work, those are the kind of places that just lose business and go out of business and close. And people who have put up risk on these businesses, you've put up risk, and now the government has said, well, we don't care if you took the risk or not. You know, that's becoming the problem. The government is the bigger risk than failure at this point. So why innovate if you can't even compete if they can just shut you down?
Exactly.
You know, and so that's my view on the smoking ban is that, yeah, you know, I'm not a smoker. I don't like to be around smoke. But here in the city core, even, if I like to smoke, I could go to Andrews O'Reilly's. If I don't like to smoke, I can go right next door to Champs or across the street to Scotty's. And it's up to the business owner to decide. If I don't like being around smoking, I've got two choices
options.
To that one option. And now I have no options. Mm-hmm. And especially not in the neighborhood areas. And, you know, that to me is the fundamentally stupid thing about all this. It's just fundamentally stupid, you know. And they say, oh, well, we need to do it to look like a world-class city. Well, job loss doesn't make you look like a world-class city, you know. And what they're saying is that your employees are not as valuable as the tech firms. Well, you pay employees. Your employees go out and they pay for goods at Walmart, at, you know, car stores, at movie theaters, you know, and that's just the wrongheadedness of central planning.
If a regulation had caused Google or Apple to cut that many jobs, it'd be front page news right now.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
If there was a tech firm that had to cut $7,500 jobs, $7,500.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
I don't think $7,500 jobs across the United States. You're right. GE would be screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but the problem is GE, you know, he gets to sit in the Oval Office and you don't. So, you know.
Try to type in RYO highway bill in Google. How many, I mean, I've maybe since this happened, a little over a week ago when we got the notification that it was going to be put through, type in, try and find an article or something about it.
Not much.
I found maybe three, four. Yeah.
When I first heard about it last week, it was just on a few blogs.
Yeah.
Nothing major at all.
The Las Vegas newspaper reported on it, but other than that, nothing really. You know, and that's the problem is that we focus on, you know, globalization and jobs moving overseas. Well, here is something that the federal government can do with just the stroke of a pen that puts people out of work that they could fix right now. And so what are some ways
that people can help, listeners can help?
I mean, is there a silver lining that we can help you guys? And what way can we help your business here locally and across the nation if we have nationwide listeners? How can we help you guys?
The one thing we're counting on that would help us not have to change our business model completely is that petition. Now, I just tried to pull it up and my internet went down. But it's on our Facebook page.
Okay. What's the name of your Facebook page? How can we search for it?
It's just Smoke Station, two words.
Okay.
And this is on the petitions, whitehouse.gov. And for Obama to even look at this, we need 25,000 signatures by the 31st of this month. Currently, right now, I'm looking. There's 3268. Signatures on this petition, and so we need 21,000 more to go.
So what kind of response have you gotten from local, state, or federal lawmakers on this?
Not much. I've contacted a few. The response I usually get is it's not our problem. It's now a federal problem. They overlook it pretty much completely.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, when you're saying what others can do, people that come to our stores are so used to smoking these cigarettes. And many people, once they come in and they find out about this, they don't know. I have to tell them right then and there. And they're, you know, they get pretty upset. Then they go, well, I'm not giving my money to Philip Morris, to Altria.
Sure.
And so I'm going to buy this bag of tobacco. I'm going to buy these empty tubes. And I'm going to buy a hand rolling machine and do it at home.
Right.
So that really helps. I mean, and I'm surprised with the number of people that are actually doing that.
It's also a matter of going to your four locations and just if you smoke, don't smoke the big corporate tobacco. Come in and learn the joys of rolling your own cigarettes.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
I've actually heard nothing but good things from, you know, a lot of people. It's actually funny. We have one leader in the party who rolls his own cigarettes, and we went to a training event with a bunch of Republicans for American Majority. And so we're all, you know, like all the goody-two-shoe Republicans are inside chatting with each other, and then all the misfit Libertarians are out smoking. And then here he is rolling his own cigarette, and like they all look over like, what is he doing? Are they smoking pot out there? It's like,
the stereotypes.
I know. I love it. But... you know, and I hear that it's better for you because the chemical
I've heard that
percentages that you gave are stunning.
Yeah, and the truth. And I mean, I have customer testimonies. Once they tell me, you know, that they're mad about this, they go, well, I was smoking Marlboros for 20 years and I felt terrible. Mm-hmm. I couldn't walk up the stairs without, you know, losing my breath at the top. They go, I've smoked these for 2 years and I feel great.
It's like health food.
Well, it's like people die from lung cancer now, but it's like if you look at two generations before me, they smoked tobacco, mm-hmm. rolled their own cigarettes, and they lived to be like 98 smoking.
You should do what Baby Ruth. Baby Ruth is marketing itself as a protein bar now. So maybe
what?
You should go.
Are they really?
Yes. Go look at a Baby Ruth bar. Oh, it's 8 grams of protein. Like, it's going to make you healthy.
Perfect.
That's what you ought to do. You ought to market this as a health product.
Now, there's some pretty terrible stuff in big cigs.
Yeah, that's crazy. So what are some other things? What are some other things that you'd like to get out there as we sort of come to a close here?
This is a huge point. The fact that they're trying to say that we are manufacturers, they overlook the fact that a federal district judge deemed us as retailers.
Mm-hmm.
And this was years prior. It's funny, nothing really seems to matter what we do. They say, you know, you can't be a retailer. But a federal district judge says you are. You need to have a petition of signatures, and then we'll look at it. But no, no.
Right.
We've had it. Like I said, we had all these thousands of signatures. It meant nothing before this.
Hmm.
And we had no time. This all happened within 3 days. All these jobs were lost, and all these small businesses went down within 3 days. And it's the government is just very short-sighted.
And I mean,
Pretty much now
your employees are probably left with no choice. So they go and
they're trying to find jobs.
They find jobs. And if they can't, they go on unemployment.
And then
they draw on that for 2 years. And then, you know, I'm not going to sit there and give them a lecture about drawing public assistance. But at the same time, it's like, well, the government created this mess, you know, but at the end of the day, we all end up paying for it.
Yes,
we end
exactly.
up paying for the public assistance programs because they put your employees out of business. And that's the wrongheadedness of all this.
Mm-hmm.
It's that cycle where, you know, it's been 4 years, people. Can we all just take a step back and let's look at the recovery? It's been 4 years and there is no recovery. It's actually starting to get worse. And if Creighton's right, and he probably is when it comes to economics, we're facing another crash before the election like we had in 2008. The government doesn't work in the present state that it's in. It just, how do we not see this? I know the people listening to this podcast see it, but
yeah.
Well, I'm really sorry about everything that's happened to you guys. We're going to put this out to as many places
Definitely.
And ask as many people to help you guys out.
We'll share the petition on our Facebook page.
I know a lot of people that smoke. So where are your locations at? Where are your four locations here in Indy?
We have the 84th in Michigan. We've got 52nd and Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
East Washington Street, 8516 exactly. And then Shadeland, 75th and Shadeland.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if you do partake in this adult pleasure, please stop in and see the smoke shop. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we paused for just a second. The magic of radio. You didn't even hear the commercial break.
We're commercial free. Brought to you commercial free.
By the Libertarian Party of Indiana. to support our broadcast today, go to lpin.org.
Make sure you buy some Pez.
And if you donate to the 1994 Society, Well, donate. Well, no, hold on. We're brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Indiana. Please visit us at lpin.org. If you'd like to support our broadcast, please join the 1994 Society and we'll send you a free tote bag.
That's our commercials, huh?
That's our commercial. That's right. The first commercial.
Wow.
And that ought to make...
That was a good voice. Who was that on the commercial?
That was Chris Spangle, professional broadcaster. Yeah, so a heartbreaking interview, man. That just... You know, as James Neese, big thanks to James Neese, who's running for State House in Indiana in District 100. He actually went to a few of these smoke shops to talk to them and to put up some Libertarian Party materials. So we just armed her with some materials because it's the truth, man. Nobody recruits for the Libertarian Party of Indiana better than the federal government and its two main political parties, the Republicans and Democrats.
It causes so many disaffected people.
I know. People get libertarianism and they get the Libertarian Party, but they don't really join until something like this happens.
Something has to happen to them.
It's a personal thing, yep. You know, that's when they get it and they're ready to jump ship, you know? And that's just, man, that's tough. You know, I'm a child of a small business owner. My dad runs Vista Building Services here in Indianapolis, where they did all the bank ones in central Indiana. And then cheaper labor moved into the janitorial business. And so they ended up, you know, my dad had to branch out and innovate into marble restoration. They redo floors. They, you know, redo concrete floors. You know, so that's part of the free market is that when something goes wrong, you have to innovate. You have to remake your business model. You have to keep those people employed. But you know, my dad's case, he went from 40 employees to about 4 or 5 right now. You know, but those people are employed in other places. But there was a transition period. It was a matter of a year or two or three that he transitioned. And after 10 years, his last janitorial account ended at the end of last month.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a transition period. It's these acts of regulation in the federal government that just make everything sudden.
I mean, there was no transition. It
no transition.
This week.
Right. And so you want to talk about compassion. The federal government is not compassionate. You know, the free market is far more compassionate than the federal government in these cases.
Yeah. They shouldn't even need 25,000 signatures for them to look at this.
No. That's
they should have looked at it beforehand.
If your federal government would like to pay attention to you, you have to actually have enough voters who might vote us out of office for us to give a crap. You know, it's so infuriating. Just everything about that story is infuriating. You know, because I identify with it, you know, as a child of a small business owner, I don't think my dad could start his business. He's been in business for 35, 40 years since the late 70s. He started right out of high school. There was very little regulation. There was very little hoops to jump through when starting a small business. He just signed some paperwork and went to business. He went to a hardware store, bought some mops, bought some cleaning supplies, and went to work, you know, and... Now he's got OSHA regulations that he has to comply with. He has federal safety standard regulations, and his business is not dangerous. I mean, how am I going to get hurt with a feather duster and a rag, you know, cleaning commercial construction sites? You know, one day I went to work for him because I worked for him through college, and I still do some part-time work for him now to make ends meet. And that's also why the 94 Society is important, so I don't have to be a janitor. it's good for me. It builds character. You know, I went to a job site one day to do some work, and we couldn't go into work that day, and I just didn't get any hours because OSHA had shut down the job site for inspection, and all the only chemical that we had on us was Dawn. And they said that if you brought the Dawn on to the premises— the construction company said if you brought that Dawn onto the premises, it would shut down the whole site because then they'd have to test that chemical. This is the stuff that you wash your dishes with, and it would shut down an entire work site for a day.
Wow.
Because they would have to test our Dawn. I mean, that's just how this is how ridiculous it's gotten in society, and we're quickly approaching that Atlas Shrugged point where what's the point of even working? Let's just become a nation of consumers. I heard someone, and I don't know if this is true. I'm just going to repeat a fact without checking it. That
okay.
we added 88 82,000 jobs last month, but 88,000 people went onto the welfare rolls and onto unemployment. And it's, you know, whether that's true or not, it's totally believable.
It is.
You know?
Did you see the video that I shared? That's the scene from The Newsroom?
No. And I've heard nothing but good stuff about that show.
Well,
I'm not actually
I watched that scene, which is the opening scene of the first episode.
Which my brother...
And I immediately went and downloaded the show.
Yeah.
And, legally? I mean, yeah, HBO Go. And
you don't have HBO Go. You've been asking me for my brother. I mean, my account, not my brother's.
But I watched the first episode last night, and it blew my mind. It was really good.
I'll have to watch it.
But the whole first episode's about the BP oil spill and how, like, the news just, the guy got it. Perfect. It was great. But he, on the news, says, well, isn't this why we should just let the companies regulate themselves? Because government regulation failed. They like they had 53, I actually looked it up and all of the stuff in the episode is true, like all the facts and everything. And I learned more about the BP oil spill in this episode than I did when it happened, which is kind of sad. But
the
sad
part about becoming a libertarian is that you have that thing happen to you where you become a libertarian and you are frustrated and then it just gets worse.
Yeah, they had
you just start getting more mad because you're then surrounded by people who are, you know, oh, well, you know, if we had the government regulating the oil companies, the oil spill would have never happened.
But we did. We had 53 regulators for 800,000 oil rigs or something.
Right.
So each regulator had to regulate two oil rigs every day, 6 days a week for a whole year to do them all. And that's why it didn't work.
Right. Government control of our housing market and our economy still led to the housing bubble bursting in 2008. And government trying to fix that entire issue is why we're 4 years out and everything's getting – is still not – it's not – it may be getting worse. Nobody really knows. Nobody wants to say that it's getting worse, but nobody wants to say that it's getting better. So for 4 years, we've had absolutely no truth spoken to us about how our economy is doing, with the exception of the Austrian economists. You know, and that's why people are frustrated and they can't figure out why Gary Johnson is going from 2%, the 2% that Bob Barr got, to the 8-10% that Gary Johnson's getting now.
Yeah.
You know, and they can't believe that in 2008, libertarians, their average percentage was 2%. 2010, their average percentage was 5%. And you know what? Our average percentage is probably going to be 10% or above in 2012. I firmly believe that. And a lot of that has to do with the Libertarian Party capitalizing on this and seizing the moment a little bit. And, you know, I've had two reporters say to myself and another person in the last week, two organizations and one organization, editor of an organization, and one columnist say to us, you guys are doing a great job this year. You guys are impressive this year. You guys are running professional campaigns with volunteers and no money. And we don't know how you're doing it, but you're doing a good job. And these are former critics, you know. And you can't figure out why. Well, it's because everybody's mad because nobody is having the truth spoken to them. And libertarians are saying what the truth is. And sometimes that truth can be depressing, but our truth is better than putting sunshine up your butt and then closing down your business and putting 40 of your employees out of business.
Right.
You know, it's just, I'm sorry, I'm having a Creighton-like rant today. Creighton's not here today because he wasn't feeling well. And so somebody has to carry the water for the outraged young white male. So that's going to be me, I guess. Let's just have a moment of silence on the radio show here to just stew in our anger. Thank you. Before we move on, I want to say thank you to Joe Ruiz. As you know, we have very few listeners to this podcast, and Joe had some nice words to say about the podcast. He said it's funny and that he enjoys it.
Okay.
So
shout out to one of our listeners.
Yes, Joe, I know, is not a known liar. He's actually a very honest young man, so I imagine he was telling the truth that we're funny. So I can't believe it, but I guess he was telling the truth. So thanks to Joe for listening. So Joe's running for Congress up in the 2nd District, and he's an awesome, awesome libertarian. So please go to Google Joe Ruiz and check him out. So Speaking of Google, let's talk about what happened to Google this week. Do you have the story that we can discuss?
So, if you know me at all, I'm a big Google guy.
I know, I know.
It's weird being a libertarian. People are all afraid of privacy, and Google's too big, and I'm not. I love Google. But they might have went over the line, and they might have paid for it.
Might have.
So, let's just say the FTC launched or has their biggest fine in the history of the FTC. Google faces $22.5 million fine for snooping on iPhone and iPad users. But what's funny about that is it's the largest fine in FTC history, but it'll only take Google 17 hours to make that money. So it is a 17-hour fine to Google, but they make so much money, it's not really a big deal. So... I mean, in those kinds of situations,
I'm in the wrong line of work. I should have
in those kinds of situations.
Should have become a computer nerd.
Do you find someone based on like a percentage to make it more fair, or is that it's the biggest fine in history, even though it's not big to Google?
Man,
that would have put any regular sized business out, like gone.
That's a good question. I mean, that's still a hefty fine.
It's
huge. I mean, you look at a professional football coach, and they get a $50,000 fine. I mean, that's what I make in 2 years. So, but to them, they make that in probably 3 games.
Right.
You know, but still, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah, so what was happening is...
because it's probably not their only fine. It's not like they've just been fined once.
Google has always told iPhone and iPad and iOS users that... You know, Safari, the browser Safari, automatically blocks cookies and trackers.
Right.
So even if Google wanted to, they couldn't track you.
Sure.
Well, Google found a way around that.
Of course they did.
They tricked the Safari browser on iOS into thinking that Google ads were being clicked on or touched on, I guess, because it's a touchscreen, therefore placing the cookie in the browser and telling Google, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't really like, they weren't like, we know where you are, and we're selling your information to the government. It was, you know, they wanted to bring better ads to iPhone users, they make probably most of their money off of ads on Google.
Yeah, they probably don't think that people are going to think that this is a big deal. I mean, we are the people who every time we see that Google Latitudes truck, a little car driving around Google Maps, we're taking pictures and waving. We're like, hey. I'm really, by the way, afraid that if you are on 135. You know, if you know Meridian and 135, sort of around the Chase and the Meridian Hills, the Perry Middle School and the BP station, be looking out on the Google Street View for a purple Chevy and me eating a Chick-fil-A sandwich as I'm driving up. I'm really afraid.
You saw one of them?
And I was like, I'm like driving along, just derping along, eating my fries and my Chick-fil-A on my way up to work one day. And I'm like, Mom. There's a Google truck. I got a camera. Oh no.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw one, or actually the only time I've ever seen one, was in California on my way back in San Francisco. It's at the Golden Gate Bridge, taking pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge. And then all of a sudden, the Google car does this little thing around the parking lot, and I'm like, that's the Google car.
I'm going to end up on cracked.com or something. The 10 worst Google Maps photos of all time. Here's this fat guy eating Chick-fil-A. Oh, I'm such a typical Southsider.
So, related to Google.
Here, call me. Let's demonstrate the rivalry that takes place. Creighton's a BlackBerry guy, so he really has no dog in the fight. I'm an iOS guy. I have an iPhone and an iPad, and I yearn for a Google laptop or an Apple laptop. He has, you know, he has the Android phone. He loves it.
I love it.
Big fan. And I forgot that I had changed Galt's ringtone. And so I'm walking in today, and I hear this as I'm listening, and it interrupts, and I hear this.
Droid sucks. Oh, you're so funny.
Hello.
I hung
up on me.
So, for a while, I made fun of iPhone users, too. Mm-hmm. I put the iPhone ringtone on my Galaxy Nexus because the iPhone's better, obviously. iPhone's better for no reason at all. It's just an iPhone. So, I wanted to make my phone a little more iPhone-y, so I used the iPhone ringtone for a while.
Did
you? To make fun of you guys.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was similar.
Gotta have an iPhone because it's called an iPhone.
They've shipped 250 million iPhones, buddy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep.
And There's not one thing it's better
at. Isn't your phone illegal in the United States?
My phone was illegal for about 6 days. It was illegal to sell in the United States.
Right.
Which, man.
That was a good point.
Our patent
strong
laws,
point.
Man. Our patent laws.
Man.
That was
like an old-timey response.
Just,
like you're watching a Western and two people are having a fight, and then all of a sudden, man.
The judge said that my phone is like an iPhone.
It is like an iPhone.
No, I'm sorry, but I would not have this phone if it was like an iPhone. There is nothing about this phone that's like an iPhone.
You know, except
all.
For the touchscreen and the apps and the...
Apple did not invent the touchscreen. Apple did invent apps.
Who did?
Who invented the touchscreen? Probably Samsung.
Yeah, probably means
probably
you
Samsung.
Probably means you don't know.
True, but you don't know either.
Yeah, you're right.
Apple did not invent the
touchscreen.
Listen,
if we knew facts, if we argued facts that we actually knew on the show, and we wouldn't be an hour-long show. We'd be a 10-minute show.
And Apple doesn't even create that many apps. It's just individual developers or companies that invent
sure.
their apps. Google makes more apps than Apple does.
No.
I mean, Google itself as a company makes more apps. Google has apps on iOS, even. I don't know any Apple app. There are no Apple apps on Google, I would guarantee
that. That's right,
that.
Because why would we put our superior software on your crappy hardware?
Anyway.
By the way, Chrome on iOS, I will give you this. Chrome on iOS rocks.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love having everything synced up.
Google rocks, period.
Google's
like,
okay.
All the Google apps on your phone. You use Google Maps, don't you?
I use Google Maps,
so?
Yeah, but they're getting ready to come out with a more kick-ass map system on iOS.
Well, all I'm saying is...
I use Gmail.
You use an iPhone and use Google on it. You don't go to Apple.com to search.
I do use,
you use
Mobile
Google.
Me. I do use Mobile Me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you use Google Talk?
No. I don't.
You don't use Google Talk?
The only time I ever use it is when you talk to me on it.
Which just means you use it, though. You have it.
God, I hate you. Hey, guys.
You have Google...
I have Gmail, and I use... Because what else are you going to use?
I mean, they're all good apps, though.
Right.
All of Google's
Gmail,
Google
Gmail
stuff
is good.
Solid.
I use Google Reader every day.
So why do you think their phone wouldn't be just as good as their apps?
They don't make the phones.
They do.
They do with Nexus, but that's it.
Get a Nexus phone.
I may get a Nexus tablet. I don't need a Nexus tablet.
The Nexus tablet is a great deal.
I just want one.
It's a great deal, actually.
Your typical
$199 for a 7-inch tablet?
Right.
That's a great deal.
What's that noise in the background? Who's talking? I don't think it's Rupert.
Anyway.
sorry for that interruption. We have ADD. That's why this is a millennial podcast. If you want a constant stream of thought that's accurate and
Carl
smart,
Ruff.
Listen to Baby Boomer Talk Radio.
This is Baby Boomer Talk Radio.
This is millennial talk radio, where if we hear a noise or see something shiny, we will stop in the middle of the podcast and discuss it. So even if it has nothing to do with you or anything you're interested in, listener.
So I guess since we're talking... We're
talking
I know
tech
stuff.
Man, it's really tough to carry the water without
Creighton. Let's talk a little Facebook.
When you're gone, we make fun of you. When Creighton's gone, we miss him because he's the one that carries the water on the show.
No,
he's the smart one.
I want to talk Facebook.
All right.
I'm done with Facebook, and I want people to come with me. So I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over again until people start doing it.
Okay.
Let's go to Google Plus.
Speaking
please.
Of your other
let's
evil, horrible company, I mean... Google and Facebook, they just don't give a crap about your privacy.
That is not true. Facebook doesn't care. I honestly have read both of the privacy policies. Facebook cares zilch.
I think it doesn't matter. I have everything. Everything that I have is set to public.
Right.
And I just live my life as if I put something online I don't want
right.
my grandmother
I do that
to see,
now.
I'm not going to put it there.
Right, I do that now. Google is all opt-in.
Mm-hmm.
Google can tell the world where you are to the inch. That can tell you what you're doing. It can tell you where you go every day.
Right.
It can tell the world where you go every day if you want it to.
It's why
it can be as private as you want and as not private as you want.
It's why the government has subpoenaed them for that information several thousand times over the last years.
But they give you the option. It's like you can go on Google and say you don't want your house on Google Street View.
Mm-hmm.
They can take your house off of Street View.
But it wasn't always that way.
Right.
There was some public outrage to get them to do that.
There was. But that all of Google products are always opt-in. That's what I like about their privacy. They don't make it where you are known to the world. You can let them do that if you want to be in the Matrix. But, which I love the Matrix.
Wow, what a nerd.
I'm the guy that's, you know, turning everybody in, the bald guy, and he's like eating this steak. I know this steak isn't real, it tastes delicious.
Would you believe?
but that's the same with Google Plus. You can share all your posts to public. You can tell the world what you think. You can tell the world where you are.
You can do
or
that.
You can do
that on Facebook. It's just not as intuitive. You can share with certain lists now that they copied.
They
say they didn't copy from Google Plus, but
and even then, though, it's still.
I recently shared.
When you post, it's automatically public.
I recently shared a photo on Facebook.
Okay.
And I have 4,970 friends.
Dang.
Okay, so I'm almost close to the 5,000 limit. And Facebook actually kind of screwed me on that because I had 4,400 friends. Okay, and then I wake up one day and I have 5,500 friends, and I'm like, I can't add anybody. I can't accept friend requests. What the heck?
Oh, so the limit's 5,000.
The limit's 5,000.
I have
so
like 1,400.
What they did without telling anybody or making it public or making it clear. Is anybody who has been your friend yet deactivated an account over time, they have now added that to your friend count where it used to not count. So I have like 1,500 people that deactivated their account or maybe blocked me. I don't know. Maybe I'm
and
just
they
a,
still count as part
now
of
they
your
count.
Friends.
So I had to spend like days. I spent hours on Sunday cleaning up my Facebook. First world problems. I know.
Google would never do that to you, man.
Yeah.
Google would never do that.
Yeah,
and
but
it gets
to my point, I share something. I have a lot of friends, so I share something on Facebook, and it was shared over 10,000 times. Okay, I had 10,000 likes, and I had like several hundred shares of this photo.
You are popular.
It was crazy. I felt important.
Viral, man.
For the first time ever. I know, I almost had my check.
That's how I felt when my first Reddit post went to number 2.
Right.
On the front page.
So, yeah. So it was like, victory.
Yes.
I finally have success. A nerd success. And so I shared the same thing on Google Plus, and you were the only person to like it. Didn't even
But I was
share
there.
But,
I, but
you plus one did.
But I was
You're
there.
You're the only one that's
one
there. It's
well,
like
we're getting there.
It's like MySpace.
All we got to do is you keep using it, keep doing your cross post thing. We'll get people over here.
By the way, we have a We Are Libertarians Google Plus now, thanks to Nerdman over here.
Oh yeah.
So if you are one of the few dozen people on Google Plus, go check us out.
Yep.
We didn't do it today because Creighton's gone, and we had a special guest, so we didn't do a Google Hangout this week. But we're gonna start trying to make that a regular feature. And really what you're just going to have to look out on – usually we do the show around between 11 and noon Thursday or Friday. We tried to do it on Thursday. This week and next week we're probably going to have to do it on Friday. Haven't told you yet. But
okay.
Next
Great
Thursday
news.
Yeah. I just have so many meetings on yesterday and next Thursday that I just – there's no way to do it. So – and my real job takes precedent over this, you know, it's not a hobby because it's beneficial, but affiliating a county party is more important. So
why I brought up Facebook.
Check out the Facebook page at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Or the Google Plus page.
And go to the Google Plus page, and we'll let you know when we're doing a Google Hangout.
Add us to your circles.
Yep. He's gonna stick around today, and we're going to actually kind of test run it. So you can join in the Hangout and actually participate on the program. We're going to set up Skype today so we can do some phone interviews maybe. Yeah. So we're going
to
play around a little bit after the show today.
Add some more features.
Add some more features
show.
So we can get
Grow
some more
up a
input.
Little bit.
Because
yeah.
We're up to at least 13 listeners, and we want all 13 of you to feel important and join the podcast and contribute. So,
back to Facebook.
All right. Let's see how long
again,
you can get into this before
again,
I can distract you.
Again, let's move to Google Plus, please.
Okay.
All right, Facebook
why are you mad? Why are
Facebook
you upset?
Facebook today, I got up this morning and they logged me out. I was like, why am I logged out of Facebook? I don't change my password.
Right.
Go on my phone, it's logged me out. So I log in and it says, you have violated Facebook's privacy or rights and responsibilities rules. And then I hit continue and it tells me that they deleted one of my posts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a picture. And it says my photo violated their, you know, their rules. And the picture is...
This wasn't a shirtless picture of you,
no,
was it?
No, the picture wasn't even of a person.
And they thought that it was
no,
a picture of
up.
A topless woman.
Shut up. See, look at you distracting me already. Facebook...
Yeah, but that was a good one.
It wasn't.
Made myself laugh.
It wasn't a good one.
I bet you Tim laughed. I know he listens.
All right.
So Facebook deleted a picture.
Travis Wyke, what's up?
I took a screenshot of a Facebook conversation, not a chat, on a wall, a conversation that someone was having
right.
on a wall, on a Facebook wall. I snippeted the little part, cut it up, and posted it as a picture. And that guy did not like that I shared that.
Right.
So they must have reported it.
Because he's one bitterman. He is a bitterman.
Well,
I mean bitterman.
I've been, unfortunately, there's some pretty large splitting going on in the Liberty movement.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Adam Kokesh versus Jack Hunter. You've got the RLC versus the Libertarian Party.
No, it's the RLC versus the Libertarian Party and the Libertarian Party saying, we don't think about you at all.
I mean, it's and the conspiracy theorists versus the practicalists.
Everybody, yeah.
So versus everybody else. So all I did was post a conversation that an RLC member had, and he was very, very rude, called some guy a dumbass.
Yeah, was he bitter?
And no, it wasn't.
Yeah, he's bitter, isn't it?
He's very bitter.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's a bitter man.
I don't. But I don't even see how that violates anything of Facebook. It was on Facebook.
Right,
he deleted the post now because he saw how stupid he was and how bad he looked.
Right.
So I took a picture and I saved it and I posted it.
And then he
that doesn't violate anything.
Probably reported you.
I'm gonna blur out the names and I'm gonna write RLC over the names, and if it gets deleted again. Actually, I'm not even going to post it on Facebook. I'm done with Facebook.
I'm putting it
on Google Plus. No one will see it, but I will have done it anyway, and
it will not
have been deleted.
You might as well get a Twitter account and just have no followers.
Google Plus is good. It's like Twitter and Facebook combined. It has trends and Boycott Apple was trending for a while because of the Nexus, and now The Dark Knight's trending and.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
I'm going to go see it. It's
why are Jack Hunter and Adam Kokesh beefing?
So, Kokesh didn't like the Rand Paul endorsement. Kokesh gave Rand Paul a really, really hard time.
Right.
Because
Rand Paul is a government official and Adam Kokesh is funded by Putin. I just would like to point that out.
And I like both of them. I've met both of them. I've seen Jack Hunter speak a few more times than Adam Kokesh, but they're different. They're different types of people. Kokesh is
he's more activist-minded.
He's a lot more activist.
More anarcho-capitalist, probably more than in the Lou Rockwell crowd.
He's more screw the government.
Right.
And Jack Hunter's more let's use the government and change the government.
Right.
And I think there's room for both of them.
Same ends, different means.
Yes, exactly. And really, I don't like it. I think we all need to stay together, but as a libertarian movement. But the things the RLC has been posting recently about Gary Johnson and how Gary Johnson left the only viable party and.
That's because the Republican Liberty Caucus are a bunch of Republicans. Okay.
Right. And but that doesn't mean you have to hate on the only Liberty candidate still in the race. That you do not have to publicly say that Gary Johnson's a nobody and no, you know, they could just be quiet about it and I would respect them.
Right.
I mean,
there have been people who have asked me over the last few years, why are you not why don't you work with the RLC directly? Why are you not going to Ron Paul stuff? Why are you not? I mean,
they don't want to work.
And I do reach out to Ron Paul people, and I have a lot of friends who were Ron Paul people only. They didn't really work. I mean, they liked and voted for Libertarian candidates, but their goal was to support Ron Paul over the last few years. And the truth of the matter is that as a person who's a leader in the Libertarian Party of Indiana and the Libertarian Party. I mean, I don't want to support Republicans at all, and I spend most of my time when I show up to an RLC event being told I need to be a Republican again, and that if I don't want to support people like Romney, people like Richard Murdoch, people like Dan Coats, people who don't support the same values as me, well, hey, you just need to compromise on some of that stuff because if you're a part of the Republican Party, our libertarian values can grow. And it's just not the truth. I just don't believe that. I spent time in the Republican Party, and I'm just, it never seemed to me that we were arguing about how we can grow the libertarian movement when you hang out with Ron Paul Republicans. you know, and I mean people who are proudly Republican yet they're Ron Paul supporters. I don't mean, you know, just the people who are in the Republican Party long enough to vote for Ron Paul, because there's a distinction between those two people. You know, the person that you were fighting with, and I know who you were fighting with, you know, this little bitter man that you were fighting with, you know, is a Republican. And he spends most of his time bashing Libertarian Party members.
They do. All of them.
Because they're not Republicans.
I've really seen more than just him. It's many of the RLC members. And why can't they spend their time and efforts bashing Obama even?
Right.
They don't have to talk bad about Mitt Romney because they're Republicans. But they don't have to talk bad about other Libertarians.
And what I usually say to them is, listen, you have your point of view. I have mine. I don't go and bash your efforts. What I've just said is probably the most public and the meanest thing I've said about the RLC. And I don't think it was that bad, because it's the truth. And the fact is that, you know, don't trash my contribution to the libertarian movement. And I'm not going to do that to you, because we're too small. And if we can get liberty in any place we can get it, then let's take it.
Yeah.
You know, and because the fact is that all those people who are in the Republican Liberty Caucus, they're voting for libertarians in October or in November, mm-hmm. not October. I need a nap.
Right.
I mean, those people tried. They didn't get their people through the primaries, and then they're just going to vote for libertarians.
And the libertarians, big L libertarians, supported them in doing that.
Right.
You know, nobody in the Libertarian Party said Ron Paul's an idiot and Ron Paul's,
no, to the,
you know,
to like the opposite.
Honestly, the LP would probably be, all of them would be voting in November for Ron Paul if he was the nominee. So can't say that.
I'd say a good 90% probably
but,
would.
Yeah, yep. I mean,
because you're just going to have that 10%. But
the RLC put up an article.
Of course they did.
Today or yesterday? The other day. Anyway, it's
and that goes
titled
back,
"A Libertarian Case for Mitt Romney," and right. it's how.
And hold before you go into that, yeah. let me wrap up. I mean, and that's my problem with a lot of the fighting that goes on in the LP and the Kokesh versus the Hunter. Like, libertarians of all different stripes need to get that we are a coalition group of philosophies yeah. that work towards a common goal. And if our ends are all the same, our means may be different, but you have to stop like beating up on each other for everything and picking fights and who's the purest and
yeah.
who has the best tactics, you know, because at the end of the day, it just makes you look like a jerk.
Yeah.
You know, life is too short and it just drives people away. It's taxing to wake up every day and fight with people.
It's actually one of the things I talked with Matt Whitliff about last night.
Right.
We have left libertarians, right libertarians, and they could be totally different. Like, but they're still libertarians. They still want the same thing. They still want less government.
James Neese is a left libertarian.
Chard
he's
Reed.
An Occupy Wall Street candidate, and he's a libertarian candidate. But you know what? He went out and he brought in
yeah.
Megan today for
yeah.
us. You know, and his value is just
it's
as much
just
as
the things that they focus on may be different.
Right.
But there's, I mean,
it's exhausting.
And I yeah.
So why do they think Mitt Romney would be a good choice for libertarians? Let me hear this pile.
The last sentence says, "I ask for libertarians and Republicans to join me in supporting Mitt Romney for president in 2012. So it may not be an official endorsement from the Republican Liberty Caucus, because it is written by someone, and he says me, not us. But it is an endorsement by one of their members for Mitt Romney for president.
Right, and I'm sure there are Libertarian Party members who are going to vote for an endorsement Romney. So is he in a leadership position?
I don't know. His name's Tracy Daniels.
Okay.
I don't know him. I could hit his name real quick.
So I'm not going to beat up on the RLC just because one of their members says something, you know. So,
I mean, but this is on their front page of their website.
What
now.
Are some of their points? Oh, it is. Okay, well, that's different. All right, then that's different. So what are the main...
And they shared it on their Facebook page.
Okay, well then, yeah, now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? So what are some of their points?
Some of their points. Well, if we present ourselves as reasonable in support of the party in August at the convention, we'll have a lot of pull in deciding Romney's running mate,
mm-hmm.
Which could make or break for Romney come November. There's been much speculation on Mitt Romney and Ron Paul. They are delusional if they think
they
Mitt
really,
Romney is ever going to pick Ron Paul.
They really think at
Seriously.
This point that they have any kind of power or say over who he picks?
There's no way ever that he's picking Ron Paul. I mean, you have Chris Spangle for vice president has a better shot than Ron Paul. Honestly. There's no way.
That's a good point. I'd be a fair vice president. I'd do better than Joe
Biden.
Then
they say, imagine Rand Paul getting the vice president nomination and Ron Paul getting a cabinet post of treasurer secretary. A lot of that would depend on how we act coming up to the convention.
Guys, listen to me very carefully.
I don't understand. Why are they so delusional?
Listen to me very carefully, everyone who's listening to my voice. Mitt Romney is going to pick Condoleezza Rice or some, you know, a female.
The governor of New Mexico.
Here is who they think is the best choice. Whoever they can get, they don't care about libertarians.
Care about
because
votes.
What they care about is votes of independents, and they think that you're just going to vote for him, for Romney blindly if you're a libertarian. They don't think the way that you think because you think with common sense.
Yeah.
Okay. The Republican Party, Reince Priebus, Mitt Romney, they don't think the way that we think. They think in terms of how can we please Goldman Sachs? How can we please Altria? They don't think the way we think. Sorry.
So their second point, or their third point, I guess, besides Rand Paul, is, of course, I can already hear some of you screaming at your keyboards or your phone, which I'm looking at it on. What about Gary Johnson? To be clear, I admire Gary Johnson. I wish Republicans were in such a place where he could have been nominated by the Republican Party. Unfortunately, most Republicans weren't ready for some of his ideas, such as pro-choice and advocacy for legalization of marijuana. So in result, he switched parties and went on to win the nomination from the Libertarian Party. As much as I hate to say, and as much as I think Johnson would be a better president than Romney, he has no chance in winning. If he can get into the debates, that may cause me to sing a different tune. However, we all know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, thanks for deciding that before it's actually happened. I mean, these Ron Paul Republicans have been told repeatedly, oh, well, the fact is that Ron Paul can't win. There's no chance Ron Paul's going to win. Well, he had a pretty strong showing.
He did.
You know, and then you guys 3 months later are going, Gary Johnson has no chance. It's not about chances. I mean, at a certain point, you guys have to start thinking about your principles. What are you guys sacrificing to vote for Mitt Romney, who stands against everything that you stand for? And don't even get me started on the asinine thought that we're just going to write in Ron Paul's name. Because that is literally a wasted vote.
So, yeah, I've been blocked and banned from a few people in the RLC and their Facebook page now.
Good.
And I haven't – they weren't even mean comments that I made. They were just, you know – I mean, the only thing that makes me a little optimistic about the whole situation is 90% of the comments and posts by other people on the RLC page are very negative to them.
Yeah.
They're very supportive of Gary. They're very supportive of the Liberty Movement staying together, and they're very disappointed in the Republican Liberty Caucus.
Yeah, and frankly, the Republican Liberty Caucus has never been more than a handful of people in the states,
right,
in which they reside. So, I don't know. This show has done nothing but anger me today.
Yeah, I hope that
I think maybe I'm just grouchy.
To wrap that whole talk up, I just hope that all of us libertarians can stay together and as a united front, because we can't win separate. Unite or die.
I mean,
you know?
Here's the thing. I want to stand with people who care about values and principles. I want to stand with people who, you know, I wake up every day and I put my heart and soul into the Libertarian Party, and I believe that a third party is the only thing that can really save our political system. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this because, you know, it's not an easy job. It doesn't pay a lot of money, but damn it, it's worth it. You know, and I want to stand with anybody who wants to grow libertarianism in the United States in whatever way or area, whatever you think is going to get libertarian values back into the government and it will shrink the size of government, I'm with you. And I'm not going to go beat up on other libertarians. But if you're the type of libertarian who wants to constantly badger me about rejoining the Republican Party and then sacrifice my values to vote for Mitt Romney, just don't even bother. Don't even bother wasting my time, because I'm not going to bother wasting my time arguing with you. That's it. Those are the only people that I have no tolerance for. Anybody else, if you're a radical, a reformed, you know, within the Libertarian Party, you're an anarcho-capitalist, you're a constitutional Republican. I don't care what you are. Just do good work. Mm-hmm. Wake up and do good work.
Support good people.
Support good people. And if there are people within the Libertarian Party that you don't support, don't go out and bash them. Just work for the work hard for the people that you do support. You know, and that's the thing that we are libertarians sometimes are a little too negative. And this is the kind of BS that just drives good volunteers away. And it's something that we as individuals have to wake up every day and say, I'm going to be a positive person today. I'm not going to demotivate other people. It's okay to demotivate Republicans and Democrats. I'm encouraging that, okay? Just not other libertarians, you know? Like, there's a time and a place and a way to discuss philosophical differences and tactics and what's the best route. But you should do it like family.
Mm-hmm.
And by family, I mean polite to each other. Now, if you and your family talk like Galt and his family, then just, you know, don't treat them like your family. So I've seen you talk to your mom. That poor woman. I swear, it's
but
awful.
Spengle, you look so sad after that rant. I'm going to have to give you a hug after this, huh? Well, we wrapping it up?
Yeah, I think we should.
All right.
I think this will go in the books as our longest show.
Oh, great.
We're almost always right at...
Creighton's not here. We have our longest show.
I know. So it's kind of funny that's how it worked out, because usually he's the one that carries us. But I think our longest show, we typically land right at about an hour, almost exactly. So,
one more time for our listeners, let's switch to Google Plus.
No.
I'm going to say it over and over again for the rest of my life until people switch.
No, you don't want to do that.
Please, guys. Please.
Really?
Facebook is censoring me.
And be sure to go and support those small and independent smoke shops. Go check out our Facebook page at WeAreLibertarian.com, our Facebook page at WeAreLibertarian.com.
And our Google Plus page.
And
just search for We Are Libertarians on Google and it'll come up.
Yeah. And
the first thing.
Support those small business owners.
That's great about Google.
Man, that's really tough. You know, those 40 people who are out of work this week and the people that put up the risk to, you know, it's just heartbreaking.
We'll share their Facebook page and their petition on our Google Plus.
All right. Well,
Ander, I guess
this
our
was
Facebook.
A better. I think this was a better show than normal.
Okay.
Wonder what's missing. All right. We'll see you next week, guys. All right, here we go.
All right, so President...
Hold on.
Oh,
wait a second.
We're going to intro
it?
I
got to do an intro here.
Okay.
This podcast is produced by What is a Hoosier Productions.